I believe that the faster our lives become, the more difficult it is for us to grapple with this slow story of a slow God that we're a part of. Our technologically driven lives have habituated us into a kind of fast spirituality that values productivity and efficiency and predictability and control, making strange a kind of slow spirituality that values honest lament and deep delight and inefficient relationship. And this is exactly why we need the Psalms. The Psalms are our inspired guidebook for a slow spirituality. When we adopt the Psalms as our prayers and our songs, we get drawn into a slow story of a slow God, and we begin to be trained into habits and postures and attitudes of a slow spirituality. So take, for example, Psalms 102 and 103, which are paired together for a reason. When we enter the slow story here, encounter this slow God in these Psalms, we experience both God's lamentable absence and his delightful presence. So let's look at Psalm 102 first. It's one of the how long Psalms. Doesn't have that actual phrase, but it's a lament. And it expresses God's slowness as an experience of God's absence or God's non-responsiveness. The author of Psalm 102 believes that God is capable of responding to our cries, but so far that response has been painfully slow in coming. So look at how it begins. Verses 1 and 2 summarize the frustration. Hear my prayer, Lord. Let my cry for help come to you. Do not hide your face from me when I am in distress. Turn your ear to me when I call. Answer me quickly. In other words, don't be so slow to respond. Right? The next 8 verses expand on that theme. Psalmist laments his distress, his depression, oppression, sleeplessness, loneliness. From his perspective, it doesn't seem like God is really doing anything about his situation, whether the oppression from the outside or the depression confronting him from the inside. He's just disheartened by how slow God appears to be. And after expressing that kind of lament, which is all through the Psalms, there are basically 2 options with where to go from there. We can change our view of God and try to make sense of his painful slowness that way, or paradoxically embrace the more gracious side of God's slowness at the same time. Now, as far as the first option goes, you could conclude that God is slow to act because he lacks the power or the ability. And certainly many have done this. Several years ago, the Jewish rabbi, Harold Kushner, published a hugely popular book called When Bad Things Happen to Good People, driven by the death of his son. And his final conclusion is not only did God not prevent the death of his son, but God could not prevent the death of his son. But if we're using the Psalms and all of Scripture as our guide, it's not a conclusion that fits, right? A slow God does not imply a powerless God. Well, you could also conclude that God doesn't really care about the things that we're lamenting. Maybe there's a God who created the world, but he's not personally involved in our lives, is not intimately connected in that way. But again, the Psalms present a God who is intensely personal and intimately involved in the world. So a slow God cannot imply an impersonal God. So if the Psalms don't lead us to give up God's power, they don't lead us to give up God's personal presence, what's the other option? I think we see a hint of it right at the end of Psalm 102. It's a hint of this gracious and even comforting side of God's slowness. That appeal in verse 24, do not take me away, my God, in the midst of my days. You whose years go on and on through all generations. In other words, when it comes to the arc of my life, slow down a little bit, God. Give me some more time to experience your goodness, to be transformed by your Spirit. If 1,000 days are like a day to you, God, slow down with me and enable me to experience more of this wild and wonderful world that you've created and go deeper into relationship with you. So we get this hint of how God's slowness can be gracious in 102, and then in Psalm 103, it pulls out the stops. And I think we see the core of it there in verses 8 to 12 of Psalm 103. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed his transgressions from us. In other words, when it comes to all the ways that our lives don't align with God's best and his design, God is incredibly slow to anger, and he's quick to forgive. When it comes to God's willingness to do what it takes for us to know him, to receive his love, he is unimaginably slower and more patient than we are. We tend to be quick to anger and slow to forgive. But the good news about the slow God of the Bible is that he always does the opposite. We forget him and he says, I still love you. We frustrate him and he does and do the opposite of his design, and he responds by saying, I want you to be mine. He chases after us. He wants us to experience fullness of life. And that, my friends, is why the story of salvation is so slow. We have a habit of rejecting and forgetting God, but God does not forget the ones that he loves. God is slow, and he directs this slow, millennia-long story because God is love. We see that in Psalm 103. And many wise pastors and theologians have written about this. The late Japanese theologian and missionary Kosuke Koyama wrote a beautiful book called 3 Mile an Hour God. And he begins this book by describing the slow story as it unfolds in the First Testament of the Bible. He says, 40 years of national migration through the wilderness, 3 generations of the United Monarchy, Saul, David, Solomon, 19 kings of Israel, 20 kings of Judah, hosts of prophets and priests, experience of exile and restoration. Isn't this rather a slow and costly way for God to let his people know the covenant relationship between God and man? Well, of course, from a certain angle. And then he goes on to explain why God directs such a slow story. He says, God walks slowly because he is love. If he is not love, he would have gone much faster. Love has its speed. It's an inner speed. It's a spiritual speed. It's a different kind of speed from the technological speed to which we're accustomed. It is slow, yet it is Lord over all other speeds, since it is the speed of love. It goes on in the depth of our life, whether we notice it or not, whether we are currently hit by storm or not, at 3 miles an hour. It is the speed we walk, and therefore it is the speed the love of God walks. I think it's beautiful to consider. Not only when God became human did he slow down to our pace of 3 miles an hour and walk among us, but then he stopped moving completely when he was nailed down and crucified as the ultimate demonstration of love. And Koyama talks about this crucified Christ as the ultimate symbol of immobility, the maximum slowness, the intensification of the whole slow story into one moment. And so to encounter this slow, seemingly inefficient God is to encounter the God who is love. In his first letter to the church in Corinth, Paul lists, as we know very well, these various attributes of love in 1 Corinthians 13. But first thing he mentions, very significant, right? Love is what? Love is patient. This is the epitome of love, patience. And love is so difficult because it requires patience, particularly for me. It's difficult. It's a very difficult virtue to cultivate, but unlike us, God doesn't have to learn how to be patient. It's an amazing thing to consider. God simply is patience. God exists patiently, just as God is love. He doesn't have to become patient or grow in patience. His default is to go slow and to forgive. His default is to give grace when we don't deserve it, simply who God is. So the fact that God is slow in this sense is our ultimate comfort. To paraphrase that first part of Psalm 103, God slowed down to your pace in order to offer complete forgiveness, to surround you with his steadfast love, to satisfy you with good things. This is the beautiful side of God's slowness, and the only fitting response is worship like we've done this morning. But we experience this gracious and beautiful side of God's slowness right alongside the more uncomfortable side of God's slowness. We shouldn't deny that either. We saw that in Psalm 102. This is our reality. We can be forgiven and yet continue to fail. God, through Christ, has triumphed over evil through his death, resurrection, and ascension, and yet evil people continue to wreak havoc in this world. God has made this enduring promise to make all things new, but it sure seems to be taking a really, really long time. This is the lament. The Psalms teach us we shouldn't deny the difficult side of God's slowness, the darker side of God's slowness, while at the same time showing us it is not the only side and it is not the side that wins. So the Psalms teach us to embrace the whole slow story, to embrace the paradox of God's slowness. And in doing so, I think we can take heart with the Apostle Peter's words in 2 Peter chapter 3. He's writing to a suffering church, right? A church that's longing for all things to be made new, for Jesus to return. And he writes this: "Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." So we might experience God as slow, but he's not slow for the reasons we might naturally suspect. We need to remember that whatever slow means for us is actually fast for God. God appears slow because he is gracious, because he is slow to anger, quick to forgive. He is patient. He is love. He's providing ample time for repentance and trust and transformation by his grace. So another way of saying it is God's slowness is God's grace. As English pastor F.B. Meyer once said, God's delays are not God's denials. And as the Psalms show us, as the whole slow story of God shows us, God's delay, God's slowness, is God's patient love. So let's pray together. And as we address you, Father God, we come with our lament, we come with our praise, together, as your scriptures direct us. As we do so, may we receive and internalize your slow and patient love in a fresh way today. Work in us by your Spirit, so that we continue to grow in our own expression of slow and patient love. Move us to patiently and slowly love you and trust in your promises that may seem slow in coming. Empower us to patiently and slowly love each other and our neighbors. And free us to patiently and slowly love ourselves as your children, free of shame, holy and dearly loved, people who have a lot more room to grow but are secure in you. We thank you, Christ, for these words. We pray this in your name. Amen.